Welcome to Amici, news and insight from the New York Judiciary and the Unified Court System. Today's program features a segment of the Capitol Press Room with host Susan Arbetter, in which he chats with former Chief Administrative Judge A. Gail Prudente and Albany Law School Professor Vincent Bonventry about the late Court of Appeals Judge Sheila Abdu Salam. Special thanks to Susan for allowing us to rebroadcast this portion of her April 13th, 2017 radio show.
The legal world is in mourning today. A beloved and respected Court of Appeals judge was found dead on Wednesday in New York City. Judge Sheila Abdu Salam was appointed by Governor Andrew Cuomo in 2013. She was the first African-American woman to sit on the state's highest court. Joining us today with their remembrances of Sheila Abdu Salam are Judge Gail Prudente, the Dean of Hofstra Law School and the former Chief Administrative Judge of the Courts of New York State, as well as a former presiding justice of the Appellate Division's Second Department, and Dr. Vin Bonventry, the Justice Robert H. Jackson Distinguished Professor of Law at Albany Law School and the author of the New York Court Watcher blog, in which he wrote last night of Judge Abdu Salam, "She was loved and admired by her colleagues and by all of us who are fortunate enough to get to know her." Judge Prudente, Dr. Bonventry, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Well, good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
And thank you for inviting me.
So from what I have read, it just sounds like she was a wonderful person. And Dean Prudente, you and Judge Abdu Salam were friends. You worked in the same branch of the court for a time. What can you tell us about her?
Yes. Well, I was very, very lucky to get to know Sheila, on a more personal basis. During our experiences at the Appellate Division, her in the First Department and myself in the Second Department, and that we overlapped our time in the Appellate Division for about 4 years. And during that time period, we had an opportunity to get to know each other personally, but also had the opportunity at times to talk about different legal matters that were pending because, I valued her opinion, and sometimes she would ask me how the Appellate Division Second Department had handled something, so we would have some discussions. But when we really got to know each other, what was interesting was when she was at the Court of Appeals. And at the Court of Appeals, during different times, when there were times when applications were being made to the commission on the appointment for the Court of Appeals, her and I would have discussions. And I vividly remember our last discussion, because our last heartfelt, person-to-person confidential discussion, which I think she shared with many people, which was the fact that she was not going to apply and not going to go through the commission for the appointment as chief judge, because she felt that it was a time in her life that she wanted more time personally. And we both felt, and we were discussing, we're within 2 years of the same age, we were both discussing how the next 10 years of our lives should be the happiest years of our lives.
So you were in the same place, sort of professionally and personally.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And, talking about putting our lives in perspective, both personally and professionally.
Vin Bonventry, it sounds like from what you wrote and what other people have written that she was passionate about ensuring
yes.
justice was given to the little person.
Right.
What can you tell us about her background and how it impacted her jurisprudence?
Sure. And, Susan, when whenever a judge retires or a judge passes away, it's customary to say all the nice things about them. When it comes to Judge Abdu Salam, the nicest things you could possibly say about a judge and about a human being are actually true, absolutely true about her.
Exactly right, Professor. Exactly
This is somebody who really was beloved. I mean, people just loved her, and they really admired her. They held her in the absolute highest esteem. And I'm talking about when I would speak to judges off the record on the Court of Appeals, they would tell me how absolutely wonderful she was, how wise she was, how fair she was, what a decent human being she was. And I can tell you when she would meet with my students and me when I would bring my seminar to the court, one of the things that really struck me about her, not only that she was just so warm and wonderful, but she was really humble. I mean, here is a judge on the great New York Court of Appeals. Not only was she very enthusiastic and thrilled to actually have been appointed to the court, but she was very humble in the sense that she knew that she was dealing with tough issues, and she would acknowledge to the students how she would struggle on how to vote in these cases. She would say, these are close cases. These are important cases. And I find myself going back and forth. You know, oftentimes when judges, and you'll see this on the United States Supreme Court, it's a 5-4 decision, and both sides are absolutely certain that they're right. You didn't get any of that nonsense from Judge Abdul Salam. She knew these were tough, and she knew these were choices, and oftentimes she knew that the decision would depend upon her. And so it was really very fortunate for the court, for the state, and for the law in New York to have her on our highest tribunal.
I totally agree, Professor. I think you've put it exactly right, and you've gotten it exactly right. Beloved, thoughtful.
Why, wasn't she?
Oh. Incredibly held in high regard. Her decisions were beautifully written.
Oh, weren't they?
And I know you're exactly right about her struggling with the decisions, because once in a while that's what our discussions would be about.
Yes.
But she did have really deeply held beliefs that of great regard for human beings and their access
yes.
to justice and the human condition.
Didn't she come from modest circumstances, Gail Prudenti?
She really did. She came from, she grew up in Washington, and she often said that she was interested in her family history, very interested in her family history, and that she discovered that her great-grandfather was a slave in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And she also would tell me about her mother, who she gave tremendous credit for, because she said without her mother's serious support and encouragement, that she was sure that her family wouldn't have been held together. And she said rather than going to Columbia, she could have, ended and not had a career and been in, been in foster care. So she was
right.
very sensitive to her family history, her humble beginnings, and the fact that that she knew that it was amazing that she was sitting on the highest court of the state of New
right.
York, and she very much appreciated it, and she
right.
she took all of her responsibilities extremely seriously.
Right. You never got this sense that she felt entitled to be there it was her fate to be on that court. No, she was. It was almost as though she was incredulous about the fact that she was on the court, and she was being asked to help decide the kinds of questions that get to that court.
Right.
And Judge Prudenti, who, by the way, I love, Judge Prudenti.
Thank you, Professor.
Yeah, as Judge Prudenti mentioned, her writing, Judge Abdul Salam's writing was, she was. I think the best writer on the court in a while was probably Chief Judge Judith Kaye. I mean, a magnificent writer. But Judge Abdul Salam was like that. Her writing was like that. So, for example,
that's very true.
In a very recent case in which she overruled a 20-year precedent of the court, there was nothing nasty about her writing. There was nothing. And this was the case Matter of Brook S.B.,
yeah.
where... she wrote the opinion for the court that the same-sex partner of the biological mother had standing to seek custody or visitation because the partner, this woman who brought the suit, she was like a de facto mother for this
yeah.
child who wasn't hers either biologically or through adoption. And Judge Abdul Salam, in speaking for the court, writing for the court, and overruling the prior precedent, just wrote absolutely beautifully about how, you know, things have changed, things perhaps were mistaken, and she relied appropriately on the dissenting opinion of Chief Judge Kaye in that prior case.
Who and had supported that.
In the Allison D. case, Chief Judge Kaye had dissented, and Judge Abdul Salam, by and large, said, you know, Chief Judge Kaye was right, you know. And even if someone might think she wasn't right 20 years ago, you have
That's
to
exactly
understand
right.
She's right today.
Things
so it was just a beautiful, beautiful opinion.
So we have about a minute or so. I'd love to know what you both will be missing about her in the days ahead.
Well, I can say for myself, I think what I will most miss is our friendship and our ability to speak to each other at times when we needed someone to give us guidance that we held in high regard.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, boy.
You know, and it, you know, to me it's still surreal. You know, my heart goes out to the Chief Judge and her colleagues on the court. Because I know how they felt about her, and I'm sure today is one of those days that they are in true mourning. She was a person who lived in the day, you know. And her decision showed that.
Yes.
And where she looked at previous rulings and would say they're unworkable. And right. I think she looked at life as something that was finite, but that she was going to live her life the way she wanted to live it. And she wasn't, being a judge was a vocation, but
right.
it wasn't who she was, you know?
We are unfortunately out of time, but I think I speak for all of my listeners when I say this has been an absolute treat to listen to the two of you remember her. Thank you so much to Judge Gail Prudenti and Albany Law's Dr. Vin Bonventri. Gail Prudenti is Hofstra Law School's dean. Vin Bonventri is the author of the New York Court Watcher blog. Thank you both for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for allowing me on.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Amici. If you have a suggestion for a topic on Amici, call John Carr at 518-453-8669 or send them a note at jcaher@nycourts.gov. In the meantime, stay tuned.